Hey y'all, welcome back to But Not All at Once, the podcast for people who fancy themselves relatively competent adults, at least most of the time. We can speak professionally, capably even, about things. We can manage our own daily tasks, and yet, speaking to a child does a number to our self-esteem. Let me tell you what I mean by this. I was asked today what my third favorite dinosaur was. And then when I offered what was evidently not the correct answer, I was asked what my favorite non-camel desert animal was. And suddenly, despite the sincerity in the sweet brown eyes looking at me, I felt like I was on a game show and needed to phone for help. Alas, despite the fact that I am literally paid to share my words and wisdom with clients, I had nothing. I'm your host, Ann Smith, and I hope that you feel smarter than I do as you listen. Today's But Not All at Once guest is Sarah Schell, someone who genuinely embodies the reminder that I have to tell myself sometimes hourly, depending on the week, that we can do it all, but not all at once. She's someone you would look at on social media and think, wait, how? But how? How do you do it? Four children, a thriving business. Your handiwork is tagged in all kinds of gorgeous events on my Instagram feed, and you seem happy and ethereal and put together and so incredibly competent and bright, and what? Perhaps that's just me and I'm revealing all of my insecurities today, but I want you to hear from Sarah's own mouth her career path, her life path. You will hear her use the word linear several times to tell you that her path hasn't been. She started, as many of our children, as young as probably 8 or 9, are asked, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to be? Some of us are wanting to be firefighters or postmen, or as I saw today on Facebook, Alan Jackson. Others of us, as Sarah was, decided to go to law school and become attorneys. So she did. 4 years at a liberal arts school, 3 years in law school, sitting for and passing the bar, practicing as an attorney, and then realizing, I don't think this is it for me. I'm not fulfilled. There's a creative aspect to my brain and my heart that needs to be set free. And she has now built a brick and mortar store that opened immediately before COVID, but she has a floral design studio and does such incredibly beautiful and inspired work while gestating tiny humans, raising them, sending them to school, hiring people, encouraging women around her. And you will hear her give so much credit to the women in her life, to the people who have come alongside her, trusted in her, asked her questions, learned from her. It's really such a story of leaning on our network, looking for answers when we don't have them, admitting to our partners, our friends, ourselves that we're not happy, and figuring out what comes next. Whether you're considering a new career path, wondering if whatever age you are is too old to do fill in the blank new thing, or just interested in meeting someone new and fun who brings literal color and art into the lives of others, I invite you to listen to Sarah's story and stay tuned at the end because I have a little word for you too. So take a listen. I am so delighted to have Sarah Schell here. We have I don't even know if you remember this because I know pregnancy brain is a real thing, but we had originally scheduled this interview for, if not the day, then certainly the week that schools closed for COVID of 2020. And I think you were just telling people you were pregnant with your fourth baby.
That's right. And now he's a year old.
I mean, and we were like, you know, let's just hold off. It's going to be a crazy couple of weeks, Sarah. Let's just give it a minute.
We did say weeks, Anne.
Yes, let's just give it a hot second. At worst, we'll chat in May.
Yeah, later in the spring, when things get back to normal.
A year and a half later, there may never be, it's just going to be a new normal. There will be no going back to anything. But I'm so thrilled that you're here, and I can't wait. Why don't we start by letting you introduce yourself and what your family looks like now, in a way it looks very different than it did a year and a half ago, and then we will jump into your story.
Sure. So yes, my name is Sarah Shell, and I live in Colombia, and I have a floral design company called Fern Studio here. And I have four children, which when I say that out loud, maybe you feel this way. And does it yes. ever go away when you say
no,
four kids?
It
and
sounds you're like, Wait, nuts
am
when
I
other people say
my
it.
Own life?
Who put me in charge? Who thought this was a good idea? And then I'll see people in a parking lot with four kids and I'll count like, oh my gosh, they have so many children. How many? One, two, three. Oh, four. Oh, that's totally normal. Five is over the top, but four is really normal.
Families, I'm like, oh gosh. But yes, so I have a fifth grade daughter, Florence, and then I have three boys, which much to Florence's chagrin, she was really hoping the last one would be a little girl. And we did gender reveal cake just with our family, and poor thing just like cried on the floor. But it was really sweet. If anyone can handle three little brothers, it's her. But then yes. I have a second grader, a kindergartner, and a baby that just is my pandemic baby that just turned one last week. So that is where we are. I can't believe it.
So the last year and a half, what's wild is that in addition to baking an actual baby, you, when we were planning to talk in the spring of 2020, we're at a really pivotal time for your business and your career. And we're planning to open your first brick and mortar space.
Yeah, well, we're opening the big flower shop. We had a brick and mortar, but it was really just appointment only because we've done weddings and events for about a little over a decade now. I started full time when I was pregnant with my daughter Florence, who just turned 10 over the summer. Another wild milestone.
You get super creative and productive when those hormones hit.
I know. Well, and I'm always like moving when I'm really pregnant. I just do these things to myself. I don't know why, but it's been good. It's all, you know, just life all on top of itself. But so we opened a full service flower shop. So we do deliveries and pickup order, like send flowers to your mother-in-law for her birthday, your wife on her anniversary. We do all the flowers now, and opened that at the end of January of 2020. So you had it was going to be great timing. I was like, we're about to explode. The flower business is going to happen. And then like a month later, everything shut down. So we're calling it the Flower Shop Reboot 2.0 in the fall, where we're going to relaunch everything. Cause I think a lot of people didn't realize that we have done that now and don't just do weddings and events. So
very few of us have looked up from, you know, there was hoarding toilet paper and Clorox wipes and learning to bake bread. And now we're just kind of, I don't know, tapping our feet, staring out the window, ready to be done. So let's back up more than a decade. Let's back up to where you pictured that you would be, for instance, when you were at Furman. So, we have these plans we put on. I remember getting these questions in these talented and gifted programs. We love to ask kids at like 10, 12, 14, what are you going to do with your life? What do you want to do?
Right.
What do you see yourself doing? And there feels, I actually read a meme yesterday that said, I'm going for Halloween as a former gifted and talented kid. And when people ask me what I'm what are you? I'm going to say I could have been so many things. And that
I'm so well-rounded. Look at all these things I can do. Yeah.
And I felt, I got the superlative in eighth grade of most likely to be the first female president. And
I love it.
You know, here I am trying to find a matching shoe at 7 o'clock this morning with a fervor that probably some congresspeople use to, like, I don't know, hash out healthcare benefits. There's a lot of stuff that happens before the sun has fully risen. So let's back up to you at 18, probably when people asked and you thought, I definitely have a vision for my life. You go to a liberal arts college. And what was your picture of adulthood for Sarah at that point?
Oh my gosh, I know. Well, I've always been pretty creative and did art and theater and loved all of the creativity parts of my life. And so I actually was an art major at Furman, but and that was pretty consistent throughout. I came in as an art major, but then I pivoted a lot with my double major. At one point, I was going to do art and theater and be a costume designer, and then I was going to do art and physics and do some kind of cool engineering. I mean, I was just trying it all out.
You know, STEAM is that we've stretched STEM into STEAM now, where they pop arts in the middle. So
I'm so glad they did.
Arts and physics, that's something.
It didn't last too long. but then I pivoted entirely and started taking political science classes, which led me to go to law school.
Wow. So I mean, that's a 3-year commitment and kind of a lifelong career you sign on for.
It is. Well, and that's sort of the running joke. I think there is a coaster that Outback had a long time ago that said, and I don't even know why Outback had this on their coaster, but it said, if you go to law school, you might have to be a lawyer. And I saved
warning,
that.
Warning, word to the wise.
I mean, it is the truth, because then you get out of law school and you're like, oh, the practicing law part. Okay.
And you finished law school, I would imagine, around the time things started to be not amazing for the legal industry?
Yes, it was 2008. And so it was like right when things kind of started crashing. So everyone was just like, you got a job, get a job.
Right.
Any job
Lock it
get.
Down.
Uh-huh.
And did you?
Did you sit
for the bar and do all the things?
I did. I took the Georgia bar and then moved to Savannah, Georgia. And I got a legal position at a law office there and did insurance defense, which is maybe the most boring legal job that you can get as an attorney.
I don't know. I feel like there are many legal varieties that would make your eyes cross.
That's probably true. But I had a beautiful office that sat overlooking the river in Savannah, and I just pored over medical records all day long and just like pushed paperwork. And because the insurance companies will pay an attorney's rate to review all the medical records because they're afraid that, you know, other people might miss things that are imperative to the case. So I was truly, my job was to go through people's medical records and do a summary of them, which is something I felt like I could have done with a sixth grade education. Yeah. So it was soul sucking, to say the least.
That's a lot. And it also makes me think, you know, when I was in high school, thankfully I've never had to deal with this because advertising agencies don't pay their 20 something employees all that well. But my dad would always warn me about golden handcuffs. He said, you know, when you start out your career, if you were to land, don't worry, Dad, this never happened. But if you were to land in a place where you're paid really well, and especially if there are bonuses tied to staying for the remainder of a year or a quarter, or billing for, in your case, a certain number of hours working more, then you're going to get to a point where even if you want to leave, even if you could leave, you are going to feel like, man, now that I've made this money, how can I go back?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, straight out of graduate school, I was offered by the biggest advertising agency in town, for whom I'm incredibly grateful and whose employees I still love, a whopping $25,000. And they literally sat down to help me. They wanted to help me budget along with their job offer.
Wow. Like,
let's get, because, you know, we know this isn't a lot of dollars, so let's help you. My point being, there were no golden handcuffs. It was wide open freedom. If you need to leave, it's only the people and the relationships holding you. I would imagine that an insurance company that can pay lawyer fees to review medical records is going to compensate you a bit more generously. It's probably tougher to leave.
Some of the draw. And then, of course, you have the, you know, 3 years of education and the amount that you've poured in yourself either into debt or have paid out of pocket to get the education. So, you know, it's not really the most exciting conversation to have, like with your parents, for example, when you're like, hey, I'm going to quit my job as an attorney.
And how did that go anymore? Like, how did that seed, I mean, no like floral pun intended, but how did that little seed get planted in your mind of,
It was not that linear. Like the way that this conversation has gone so far, it makes it sound like that was sort of my plan, and it was really
easy.
No one has ever accused me
of having a linear conversation, by the way. So
I'm right there with you, like I'm all across the board. But it mostly was just, I was just really sad as an attorney. And what I haven't said in this conversation yet is I actually in law school met my husband in law school. And so I now laugh because I essentially got my MRS degree in law school, which is sort of funny.
And Florence is is this what we do? We go to 7 years of higher education?
I know. I will say I do not regret it. I absolutely love school. I would be a professional student if it was, you know, viable.
I love a gold star and a sticker and a fresh planner.
I agree with all of that. School supply shopping this past fall with Florence, we spent too much money and had too much
fun. It's a dream.
I'm reliving
it. So you meet your husband. Is he also a practicing attorney who's maybe enjoying?
No, he doesn't practice law anymore either. All of our friends from law school are like, how did you guys do it? How do you get out of practicing law?
Give me a roadmap.
Yes, well, it's funny. He does commercial real estate now, so it's not quite as much of a departure as my career complete 180 to be a floral designer.
The background, the critical thinking, the ability to read contracts is helpful entrepreneurship.
I do write my own contracts at least, so right. I can do that.
Maybe 3 years was probably a lot to do that, but I think that's amazing. And I'm interested to know, so were you and your husband married in Savannah, and how did that discussion of I'm not fulfilled, will I ever be fulfilled, do I see myself doing this forever, how did that go?
It was lots of discussion, lots of tears over the course of my career. I was mostly coming home and he's like, you are not yourself. You are not happy. I mean, I really owe it to him for the reason that I am very fulfilled and have a really wonderful career path now, because I couldn't have gotten out of it myself, because I think there was too much guilt and the type A part of my brain that's like, no, you did all these things. You
that's
need
a lot
to
of internal
complete
pressure.
It. Yeah. So, but I mean, so it eventually just came to down to, he just said, you're not happy. You need to figure out what it is that is going to be, you know, better for you. And we knew, we didn't have any kids at the time. Like we'd only been married a couple years at this point. And we both knew that my job at that time wouldn't have been very conducive for a family. And I wanted to be more present and more a part of my children's lives once I had any. So we were also trying to think together of like what I need to figure out something to pivot where I can't stay and, you know, it's not sustainable long term. So I pretty much just decided, but the two of us did, that it wasn't the right fit. And so I quit my job and with no real plans. And I that is such a like luxury and a privilege. And I know that's not something that everyone can do. And I felt like I was suffocating. Like I almost didn't have the brain capacity to even start thinking about what it would have been that I wanted to do if not law, because I was so consumed by my job. And I quit my job, which was a really funny conversation with my dad, who is also an attorney, which is probably
you're the oldest child, is that right?
I'm the oldest of four, actually.
And
too, so
do you know if you're an Enneagram one?
Oh, I'm a seven.
Really? Oh, that's interesting. So I think you definitely seem like an oldest child to me.
I'm an oldest child, type A.
Expectations.
You know, like the creative side of my personality, that, you know, the FOMO side of like the next challenge, the next thing. So a little bit of the, you know, as far as we're talking through Enneagram, I felt like it was like I almost had in some ways fulfilled the challenge. Like going to law school was, I had a little bit of that like Elle Woods in me of like, it's hard, I'm just going to go and do it, because wanted to almost like prove that I could. And, but then that goes back to like, oh, well now I actually have to be a lawyer. let me think where I was going with that. I just had to, in a way, make some space to really figure out what it was that I wanted to do next. Exactly. So I ended up, I flailed around a lot trying to figure out what we were doing. We were in the middle of doing like a home renovation in Savannah that we were doing a lot of things ourselves. And for a little while I had a blog about it. And then I was, decided I might try to, learn how to do calligraphy. And then I had a friend that had a boutique in Savannah, just like a home and gift boutique. It's still there. It's called Terracotta. It's so beautiful. It's a really nice space to be. It's like this, independently owned. The owner, Christine's so wonderful. And she let me just come work at her store. And which was really funny because I went from truly working as an attorney to then being in the store asking, do you need a small or a medium? I have a law degree,
But it's how just, freeing to just be in the moment in that store.
And I had to kind of check my pride a little bit because part of it was just like putting myself back out there and trying to figure out like, okay, if it's not law, what's my next step? What do I want to do? And do you remember feeling pressure at all? Like before, I always thought I was like, before I have children, I have to have everything figured out.
You asked, do you remember feeling pressure? And I was going to answer yes before you
on
finished
anything,
it.
I know.
Because since I was about 10, I felt pressure. I think that magnet program that you and I were both in, in Columbia, I applied for it at 10, and I remember my parents saying, oh, we don't want you to do this, babe. Like, this, we don't need you to push yourself harder. This is maybe not a good... And I was like, no.
Supportive parents, though?
Do this, and I
felt that, too.
They knew me, and they saw me, and they got me, and it has definitely informed my worldview. But when I was, 27, I thought, why don't I have it figured out? I've seen all the movies. People definitely have their lives tied up with a bow. They probably own a loft in Soho as well as a small business. So what am I doing? And were you able to set aside that pressure or the societal pressure of saying like, hey, I'm no longer an attorney to friends who were, I handled marketing for a large law firm here. And my peers in that firm were, in order to bill 40 hours a week for people who aren't attorneys, to know, you have to physically be there probably 55, 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
And be on
that
call depending
life.
On your business. It's a lot. It's a lot. So I'm sure that saying to your friends who, aren't exactly ladies who lunch, hey, I'm figuring it out. What were you able to set aside that pressure or the tendency to
cringe? I think what was helpful
cringe?
To me is that we went to law school in Richmond, Virginia. And so the fact that I was in another city, I think was helpful. Really considered it from that perspective, but as far as not having to see everyone all the time, because it wasn't like I was announcing it on social media or anything like that. Like it took a lot of setting aside my pride and also just say, like, this is not the right fit for me. And I think long term, it's not sustainable for my life and what I want in life. And that is, something that is more important than just sticking to it. Because I felt like I almost, like, if I had been honest my first year of law school, I had already figured it out. It's funny though, but I'd committed. So it's like, if I go to law school, I will finish and take the bar and be an attorney. But I just hadn't quite realized what that was going to be like in practice.
And did you ever regret, did you ever have moments where you thought, because it sounds now, of course, more than a decade later, like, ooh, what a smooth path of figuring this out. Did you ever have a moment where you thought, oh no, there's no take backsies. What did I just do?
I mean, I certainly did in some situations, like where you see other, peers that I went to school with and just moments of a little bit of that pang of self-doubt. But then it's quickly changed when, most of my friends who are attorneys are like, how did you do that? And so then I'm like, oh, okay. It's validating in that way too. But, I just would, at the point where I am now, hindsight's 2020, of course, but if you, now that I have the floral business and, I certainly don't have a full life work balance, the like elusive balance everyone's trying to achieve. Like, but you know, I'm getting it closer to what I think I would want ultimately. So I sometimes even forget, like when we were talking through this conversation and of like what, you know, things that we would talk about on the podcast, I'm like, oh yeah, I guess that is kind of interesting that I completely went to law school and then didn't do that anymore.
I think there's so much hope and encouragement for women, especially after the last year and a half. It was interesting to me a year and a half ago, but now as we're looking at actual floods
that's right.
of people leaving the traditional job market because their school is closed every other week, or they need to find a more flexible way of being, or they just don't feel fulfilled. And the pandemic, if it's taught us anything, is that life is short and we need to make a difference and feel that we matter. I think it matters more than ever what it's you're so talking true. About, this ability to pivot. So I'm curious to know how you got from Savannah back to your hometown of Columbia.
Well, that one's a little bit more linear because essentially I got pregnant and we wanted to be close to family.
Easy enough.
So that one wasn't too hard, but it came a little bit more as a surprise. Like it happened sooner than we thought, as far as moving back to town and Brad finding a job here. And all of that. So we actually moved when I was 6 months pregnant with our first child. And it was funny because so as far as like starting the floral business, the way that I did that is there was a woman who would come into the store where I worked in Savannah, who was a floral designer. And I just started picking her brain a little bit. I mean, I think part of if anyone looking for a career shift, I mean, I guess it's harder to do it sometimes if you don't want it to get back to your job. But if you're actively looking for something else or something different, I think the biggest thing that I was starting to do was just to talk to people about what they do and what you're thinking you want to do and like how you see your life. Because people just in having conversations, like you are surprised by who they know or what they're doing or how you can maybe fit into that. And it might even happen like a lot further down the road. So there was just a girl who was coming in shopping and she did flowers for weddings. And so I was just asking her about things. And then a few months later, she was looking for extra hands for a wedding and invited me along because I just had the availability and she knew I was creative and we got to be friends. And so working alongside her actually helped me understand this whole world of weddings and floral design. And I really thought that it might be something that I would be able to do. And so I ended up convincing my mom to go to they call it a flower school, but it was like a week long class in New York. So more like a flower class that we went, and it was so much fun. It was just the two of us that went and learned some of the mechanics and, you know, just the actual skills of making flowers.
Did you have any ability beforehand?
I mean, nothing other than just an art background. So I knew I had like an eye for composition and color and could put things together. But I'm like, I don't know how to keep flowers alive.
I certainly don't have an eye for anything besides, ooh, that's pretty. Or no, that's not for me. But it's from, I remember on my sorority hall, you know, sisterhood events, I think we made like face masks 1 month. And I was in charge of sisterhood and I had someone come in and do like a 2-hour workshop on floral arranging because I can literally barely snip the ends of a pre-made, you know, Trader Joe's situation and get them to live. And I ended up being so busy this is shocking to absolutely no one, socializing and checking people in and making sure they were situated and comfortable and had their strawberry lemonade, that I didn't hear any of it. And to this day, I mean, the little packet that comes with a Trader Joe's bouquet in the water, do I put it in before or after the flowers? I don't know, Sarah. I don't know.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
It's
You're
very
doing
confusing.
Great.
So you go to New York, you have this, I mean, that's kind of a sweet mother-daughter experience, whether
it
you
was
want to
so
start
much fun.
A
it's
business.
This little pocket of a memory. That's exactly right. Yes. I was like, I'll love taking this trip with my mom regardless, but I didn't really know where it was going to lead me. But then I mean, serendipitously, my sister had a friend getting married in Colombia, and she really was having trouble finding a florist or somebody who would do the style flowers that she really wanted. And she heard from my sister that I was interested in this. So her name is Betsy. And Betsy called me and said, I heard you're learning how to do flowers. Will you do my wedding flowers? And I'm like, Betsy, I don't even know how to make a bouquet. And she
said,
those
are some high stakes, Betsy.
I know. She goes, I have confidence in you. You'll figure it out. And I was like, are you sure? So this is, I mean, but the funny thing with weddings, like they would plan like, you know, 9 months, a year out. So right. I, in my mind, I was like, okay, I'll sign up for it and then see if I can figure this out. You know, I've got 9 months to figure it out. So went to the flower class, and then Betsy was getting married in Colombia. So it actually, then when Brad got the job in Colombia and we moved back and I was 6 months pregnant, Betsy's wedding was a month later in Colombia. So it was perfect. And I mean, just worked out because we did her wedding, or I did her wedding. My mom and I did her wedding, and it was not small. It was like
your
a
first employee
wedding. Yes, exactly. My mom, I'm like, you're my first intern, mom. Thanks for that. But yes, so I did the flowers for that. And then Florence was born a couple of months later. And I didn't really know what was going to happen after that or where we were going with any of it. And just kind of thought that I would, you know, just see where it was leading, or thinking I just would be a mom and I don't know, kind of figure it out. And then, but it was funny because Betsy's wedding, I actually connected with the girl who was the wedding planner at the time, Jessica Rourke. And she was like so professional and like had done a bunch of weddings, and we're about the same age. And she, I vividly remember this moment where I am like on the ground wrapping boutonnieres. I'm sweating and, you know, 6 months pregnant. It is hot. And we were like scrambling.
Colombia is the hottest city on earth.
Oh my gosh. And Jessica is like, and she's so like nice and professional. And she's like standing over my like sweaty pregnant self. And she's like, okay, we're going to need those boutonnieres. The groomsmen are about to walk down the aisle. And I'm like wrapping them. And like, man, I'm like, oh my gosh, she thinks I'm the biggest mess. But she contacted me later and said, was, you know, wanting, they were moving back to Columbia from New York, and was interested if I wanted to share a studio space. So, and I'm like, how, I've done one wedding and
you think I
deserve
a
newborn
studio?
Baby. Like what would I do with that?
Amazing. But what a vote of confidence on from Betsy, from everyone.
Oh my goodness. I mean, I have so many people to thank really for where I am in life. Like I don't know if I just like opened myself up to it. I don't know what I did to deserve it, but it, things really started falling into place. And I mean,
that's how you know, I think it's the right thing.
That's
just
right.
Doesn't have to be forced.
That's exactly right. And so it just, things like truly started to map out that way. And Jessica and I signed on and shared a space with a photographer down in the Vista in Colombia. And we're down there for like 5 or so years. And she, it was perfect to be like brought in with a planner, because the planner always is the one that, you know, Brad's usually book first. And then Jessica would just say, well, I have a florist who I share the space with. You should book her. So I have a lot of, you know, credit to give to Jessica for the beginning of my business, especially. So
those kind of connections are everything. So you,
yes,
at this point are, I mean, still having babies, right? Just a couple of years after Florence came,
I like
you're
only
doing it again.
Stopped having babies.
Yes, I feel like, that deeply.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so it was kind of funny because, I mean, too, with weddings, like I would get a contract a year in advance, and I'm like, well, I guess I'll just figure it out if I end up having another baby. And so we did, there were a few weddings that we had to like move around or I mean, like help find another florist.
Get some backup,
or something,
yeah.
Too. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, but you know, people are generally understanding. But the funny thing about, I'm sure you've had this happen with your business too, but with having children and also trying to like put yourself out there as like a professional put together business person, like there are literally times where like my children are screaming and fighting in the other room and I would be like going into my closet and closing the door and like trying to hide back there on a phone call. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
yes, I would love to do your wedding.
I know. And I'm sending you this invoice that has zeros in it. And I want you to think I'm worth it, but also I'm nursing a baby and unloading the dishwasher
right now
as we speak. And,
I'm still in my pajamas, but
nap time was a godsend. And it was absolutely, you know, those times, well, I was going to say remember, but obviously Brooks is, well, I hope, is still having the 2 times a day nap situation.
So it depends on the day, but yes.
Yes. That, in theory, I would pin all my hopes to that nap time. And when it didn't go well, it was devastating. Like, there goes my productivity.
But
I know that that's a lot to juggle. So how did you decide, at least, so for my business and different, it kind of came in waves. So there, you know, maybe a slow season and a busy season. And sometimes it aligned with, I mean, I literally had to cancel a conference call from labor and delivery because I was delivering a child 6 weeks early. So,
oh my goodness.
You know, hi, sorry to bother you. I will not be able to be on the call this afternoon because I'm delivering an actual human.
Yeah.
They actually canceled. They broke their contract with me 2 or 3 weeks later. And my son had just gotten home from the NICU. And I remember being so devastated and hurt. And I felt like I let them down. And it just seemed so unprofessional. And my husband, Bradley, was like, no, ma'am. Mm-mm.
Yeah, no, you had a baby.
We are not. If this is like you have met every deadline, you have met every expectation. We are not going to worry about this. Let's keep it moving.
Yes.
So absolutely. How did you manage that ebb flow? When did you know when it was time to grow, to get employees, to move to another space?
Gosh, I mean, none of that is linear, too. Like, it's funny when you are talking through it like on a podcast type, you know, scenario,
like,
and like putting
version.
It. Yes. Yeah. I'm like, well, it makes it sound like it just went from one thing to the next. And it wasn't that way at all. I mean, there were plenty of, you know, nights of coming home and uncertainty and plenty more tears around the business of like, do I get the space? Do I jump? Do I leap? Do I do things? I mean, I think some of it is really just like trusting your gut. And I mean, Brad, my husband, is just, he's always been such a supporter of mine and my business. And just, I mean, I probably wouldn't have done half of the things without him. So I feel so lucky to have that. And then as far as, I mean, hiring employees, I mean, you know, it's like growing pains a little bit. Like, we, in making the jump to the flower shop, I hired my first like full-time employee. Before, with wedding work, it's a little easier because you can hire freelancers. So I get, you know, people who have other jobs that can then work on the weekends that are artistic or, and have learned, you know, learned with us to, you know, do floral design and all of the things that we do on the weekends. But then to take the leap to the flower shop was pretty scary, but I just had to decide if that was what we were going to do. I just committed. So Ashley is my first main full-time hire. And I hired her at the end of January of 2020, which was extra interesting when the world shut down. And I'm like, oh, great. But now everything is shutting down. And for a
little
while,
panicked.
We didn't even know if we could take flowers. But it ended up working out because all of our events and weddings were canceled, of course, for COVID. And then we could still do flower deliveries because it's, you know, contactless porch drop-off. So the pivot to the flower shop ended up being, I mean, it just worked out so well. So then Ashley could basically, I was like, hang on, Ashley, I will keep you through this. We'll just figure this out. And she pretty much, and because then all of my children were home, you know, like everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And so I pretty much, Ashley was just like a lone island. Luckily, she's in her 20s and hasn't started a family or anything yet. So she was able to, you know, dedicate her world to running the flower shop a little bit. And I just gave her the reins. It was funny. We sort of laughed and just joked that for a while she was just like stopping the bleeding, essentially, with whatever was going on with the business and 2020 and pandemic life, because it seems like every week was different. Restrictions were different every week. So, you know, it just doing the same sort of thing everybody else was figuring out too. But
and your industry of all industries, you know, events and tourism really were hit more heavily than anyone.
Yes.
How does that work when, I mean, I'm a planner, I'm a type A. I like to know what's coming, and if nothing's coming, I like to change that as much as I can.
Yeah.
How does that work when, and it's not just clients maybe not calling ahead of time, it's that they also don't know.
Exactly. And I mean, some of it was just, we just had to be flexible and figure it out. Luckily, we don't do wedding planning as part of our job. We don't offer wedding planning as well. So most of our clients use a wedding planner. So the actual hard decisions fell on a wedding planner like Jessica. We had quite a few weddings with her. Right. But the stories that she tells are, she's tired. They rescheduled quite a few. I think one wedding she rescheduled 5 different times to get it in.
And I think you just go to the courthouse and be like, forget this.
And a lot of people did. And we started taking on, we did a lot of micro weddings, or just people would call and just want a bouquet. And we had quite a few brides over the pandemic that have called, you know, a couple days before and are like, we're doing a small ceremony on Friday. Can you make me a bouquet? But it worked out quite well because with the flower shop, like, we then always had flowers in. So it wasn't hard to fulfill these requests. And, you know, so just kind of figuring out how to be flexible with it. And then, you know, just when we can reschedule and make it work, because it's a hard time to be getting married and to be a bride in the middle of all of this. And it's still happening. Like, one of our weddings just a couple of weeks ago, that was a rescheduled one from a year ago, the mother and father of the bride had a COVID exposure the day before the wedding. No. So they couldn't even come to the wedding that they had rescheduled from a year.
Oh,
isn't that awful?
Yes. It's just a mess. Mm-hmm. And it's easy for me, having, you know, I've been married 14 years now, to look back and say, oh, it's just one day. I would go to the courthouse. I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. Like, have a party later. Well, that's all fine and dandy when you had your wedding with your white dress and your, you know, family there. I think that's, it's a little different when you're in the middle of it. And maybe you attended, remember that season where every year was 12 wedding invitations and 15 bachelorette parties, and you've lived through that. And now, you know, maybe if you're lucky, you can get married with a few witnesses. So I understand that's easier said than done.
I know.
It's all about being flexible. And how have you seen your business change? So if you were doing less weddings, did you start to see people reach out from farther away, try to kind of connect through little porch drops or contactless deliveries just to cheer up friends?
Yeah, we saw a lot of that. And that's what we're still, I mean, since we opened the flower shop, like, right before all of this happened, it's really sort of just merged into that. And it's made it easy for us to basically take any requests, however large or small. And we've had a few larger weddings and things are starting to pick back up. But then, I mean, you know, here we are again with the Delta variant. So who knows? it truly is just, I mean, like I say, with, like, my family and having a bunch of kids, like, with the pandemic and planning events and all of that, you just have to lower expectations and just pivot and figure it out. So
that's it's a great lesson for all of us to learn in adulthood and parenthood and marriage, like, lower expectations, pivot and figure
sad,
it out.
Doesn't it?
No, I think it's freeing. And when we lower that voice in our own head, the expectations we put on ourselves, the pressure we put on ourselves. But I love the idea that what's beautiful is still, because, you know, flowers are, I used to think that being a floral delivery driver when I was a small girl, I thought, I had a few dreams. One was to be the woman who worked at the McDonald's cash register while studying to be a ballerina, because I wanted to press those buttons. I don't know why. And then I thought I would work at a Ritz factory because I, as a 4-year-old, really enjoyed Ritz crackers. And the last idea was, I want to learn to drive so I can be a floral delivery person, because everybody gasps and smiles when you walk into the room. Even if it's a sad thing, they're happy to see you.
And that's what I have always said. I feel like I now have the absolute happiest job. I mean, it truly is our job to make people happy. And on wedding days, if the bride is having a hard day or a hard moment with family or whatever is happening, if it's raining, things aren't going their way, we truly like get to come in with the flowers and save the day. It's so fun. So I agree.
Things that are beautiful still, you know, I find that people are decorating their homes more. They're trying to make the space they're in more beautiful, or they're trying to just find little kind of pockets of joy.
That's right.
In the less amazing years.
Or the heavy that we've parts had. Of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So mm-hmm. I would love to transition into, let's pretend for a moment, it's going to feel amazing that COVID isn't a thing and that we're just planning a wedding. Like mm-hmm. a non-COVID, just normal wedding. What is your best advice for even just a party, but for people who come in and want to make the best use of their dollars? Maybe someone like me who I know what I love when I see it, but I'm not super picky. You know, I don't like this and I do like that, but yep. just work your magic. What do you tell brides, party planners, people who are trying to have a special event when they're kind of in that space? What's your best advice as an expert now?
Sure. So as far as flowers go, I mean, the way that we like to talk to our clients about their wedding and the floral experience for the day is to try to choose a few focal points for their space. You know, like what matters the most in the wedding, and maybe it's the dance floor. They want to have a really big party, so we do like a big focal point over the dance floor. Or, you know, they really want the ceremony space to be transformative and, you know, whimsical and ethereal up at the front or something that like would be a really beautiful photo moment. We could do something like that. So, I mean, I think it really is just trying to find like a focal point or the parts of the wedding that you really want to emphasize. And then using kind of prioritizing your budget towards that as far as flowers go. Because I guess in general, it's better to spend more of your budget towards something that is going to be like a really spectacular, special focal point rather than spreading a lot of it like over all of the centerpieces. And then it doesn't make as much of an impact.
So when you look back on your wedding with the eye and the perspective that you have now, would you change anything about the way you handled the floral experience?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is I haven't mentioned this, but that was another reason that I kind of thought I could do flowers is just having the flowers that I had at my wedding. I remember thinking like, I feel like I could do better than these. Right. And I just felt like a lot was, I mean, for my own personal style and taste, there were not, it wasn't quite what I wanted. And so, which was fine. But I just remember looking back and being like, oh, it gave me some confidence in getting into it. Cause I felt like I could, that there was a spot in the Columbia market for a different viewpoint, maybe.
You know, and you say the Columbia market, but I see your work tagged in other places too.
Yeah, thanks, Anne. Yeah, we go everywhere. I like coming up to your neck of the woods, to Greenville, a lot. We'll do a couple up there, probably a couple a year usually, and then we go down to Charleston. Like we go all over South Carolina, and then. I love doing a destination wedding every now and again. There are a lot more work and a lot more logistics, but we've done a wedding in Grand Cayman, wedding in California, a wedding in Rhode Island. It's been really fun to do some of the out of town ones, just like a new challenge for my brain to kind of figure out. And it is dreamy, then it's like so much work and so much moving of parts.
Yes. I just pictured you flying, like, you know, the flight attendants greet you at the door of the airplane. And I just picture you with three people behind you, like holding arms full of flowers. I'm fully aware that's not
Wouldn't
how it
that
works.
Be so, that's so glamorous. That would be so chic. That's how we convince people to come work with our team. And then I'm like, actually, we are like full Well, it's like 90% like professional moving service and 10% making things pretty.
But the pretty part is what gets on Instagram, and that's what people remember.
I know we've been talking lately that we need to do more of like what's real behind the scenes, but usually actually doing all of that, so we don't have time to film it.
I've seen so many. So I do a lot of work in public relations and social media with different clients, and I've seen a lot of, you know, and we encourage people to do this trend on social media of tap to clean.
Oh yeah.
Tap to demo. So, you know, this is the kitchen, tap to demolish, and you'll see like the whole back wall gone, or, you know, tap to pop up a black backsplash. Like, it's just a 10
That's
second
right.
difference.
And it's that
right?
easy. It just yes, goes up just like
so
that.
So easy. And I'm sure that that's how it feels to people who don't do what you do. But I also know, even at, for instance, you know, when clients have like a grand opening for their office, or are having a special event, absolutely everyone wants a selfie spot. Everyone.
That's right.
Wants some kind of special, you know, a wall of florals or greenery. I've seen a ton of greenery with like champagne flutes wedged in there somehow. And I'm just like, but is it cold? Is it still bubbly? I think I'd rather have my champagne from... I mean, I'm not a terribly high-maintenance person. I like the floral view. I also like cold and crisp champagne. So, you know, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about logistics. Maybe it's cider and it's just there for visuals. I don't
know. That's right.
I'm not the professional here. But I will say that I can see that the work you're doing, because we are such a visual culture. And when I started out in PR... we were purely sound bites. You know, we'd get a couple of event photos to share with magazines, but sound bites were key. And I can craft those for you. I can slap your name on it. Done. I can
that
say
sounds
Sarah,
great.
Sarah
I need
Shaw
your help.
Said this. We've got all the words. But now Instagram, even TikTok with these tap here to demolish or behind the scenes views, you know, we're coming up with reel and TikTok ideas for our clients. So it's so visual that even someone like me, who is terribly focused on words, is trying to figure out how the visual element comes into this. So I imagine that your work continues to expand from just, you know, I would say 50 years ago, your mom's favorite florist would hand you a bouquet and some boutonnieres and maybe a big arrangement for the front of the church and go about your merry way. Do you see your work being very different than it probably was for your mom's generation?
Oh, absolutely. Well, like you said, with the, you know, just seeing everything on social media, and Pinterest is a really big one in our industry, of course. Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, just like I got married before Pinterest, and I just, I'm really glad. I know it feels like, I mean, talk about pressure, like with all of the things that our brides, you know, bring us from Pinterest. And I mean, we, you know, help them luckily edit everything down to something that feels like them and their family and what they want their wedding day to feel like. But it's a lot, but it's fun too, because it gives you like lots more ideas. But I think just expectations have increased significantly, just of like what people think they need at weddings. And I mean, we love doing all of the, you know, special installations and like building things with flowers and just creating these environments. And like you said, like with the, you know, spots for folks to take selfies and, or just, you know, stand up front and get a picture. And we do, one of the things we've been doing a lot of, that's been pretty fun, kind of inspired by some of the social media stuff, is called a flower flash. And we go early in the morning and set up like a flower installation on something, like whether it's like growing across a bridge or bit flowers in a trash can, like downtown Columbia, where it just is like a giant arrangement on the side of a street corner. And then we enjoy like giving out clues about it. And then people
it's
go
like
and
flash
take pictures.
Mob of flowers.
Exactly.
I love it.
And it's been really fun. And we've been partnering with some of the local businesses in Columbia to do some things like highlighted on their business. Is kind of, I mean, that's right up your alley with all the PR and marketing stuff.
Yes, this kind of partnerships are so important. And I think too, viewing the floral experience as art, you know,
absolutely.
Greenville especially has some downtown art installations, so many murals. And we view it as something that just enriches the space where we live and creates conversation and space for people to spend time. Yes. And it just adds character and reflects who we are. And I can see that, you know, I remember kind of the mantra of folks when I was planning a wedding as, you know, flowers die at the end of the night. You know, you might go home with a few arrangements, but like, don't spend a lot of money on flowers because it's so temporary. When, mm-hmm. you know, the band stops playing after 3.5 hours and all of the shrimp and grits are consumed. And we don't really get a ton of pictures out of those. So, you know, like, great. I don't know that that's a very apt metaphor.
Are always in all of your photos. That's what you have, you know, as your memory. And that's the beauty of the event. It can really like transform the space and make people feel something different when they walk into a space.
And that must be such a creative challenge.
Oh, we love it. That's the best part of it, is creating just these big installations, or that's what I mean when I say like trying to find a focal point or somewhere that can really transform part of your space. And so, you know, that stays as a memory of the day for you. And then of course it's also memorialized in all of your photos. But we, you know, I also say that it's okay if priorities are outside of flowers. Like, we sure. recognize that we're not every single bride's florist, and that's okay. We really love partnering with people who love flowers and really appreciate the art and the nature of what we do. So
it's a tricky thing. You know, I remember talking to my now husband when we were engaged and kind of letting him pick, okay, what are the most important things to you? Music, food, whatever. And our reception was at the Palmetto Club, which had at the time these really beautiful coral salmon walls with like pearlescent, like just kind of a hand-painted wallpaper. It was really beautiful and didn't require a lot of floral distraction. You really would have taken away from kind of the staircase. But if you were planning a tinted ceremony in your parents' backyard, your needs are going to be a little bit different. And
absolutely,
I can see that would be something really special. But I love the idea that businesses and cities and towns are using it, especially in this, I mean, I hate to, what do we even want to call it? A Panasonic in this time that we're in the crazy times. I think little bright spots for me, it might be a drive through Chick-fil-A Diet Lemonade. But for a city, it might be some flowers where you didn't expect them.
And we just love kind of bringing a focal point to other local businesses and other people who are doing things to lift up the community also. That's our, you know, to really kind of lift up our city and all of the folks that are in it too.
So if I had shown you a picture 15 years ago of what you're doing now, would you have thought, did I help them write their contracts and they just brought me along for the event? Or would you have thought, no, that's exactly where I want to end up?
I mean, the second one for sure. Yeah. I absolutely would have been like, yep, that's where I'm supposed to be. I mean, it was a departure for me to go to law school. It more of was, I loved school and didn't fully know what I wanted to do with an art degree out of college. So it was kind of, you know, and I laugh now because it definitely, I don't know, gives me confidence when I'm sitting in the carpool line. I'm like, okay, I have this degree. Oh, gosh.
And you can, I mean, honestly, I bet you read a mean pediatrician's invoice. You know what I mean? Like, wait a minute.
I don't enjoy it, though, Anne.
Nobody enjoys
that. I'm fine to leave it behind.
That is a terrible. And actually, I heard last week, and I really wished that I had the abilities to do this, and maybe in my retirement I will, but I was reading about volunteer patient advocates who, and most of them are in their 60s, people who have maybe a professional experience of some kind, but they work with patients of, let's say, a cancer patient, families who are inundated with these medical bills and don't really know up from down, and they advocate both with the hospital and the insurance companies. It made me both sad that is necessary,
right,
but also really encouraged that there's a group of people. So I can totally see that being some kind of expertise that you lend to someone in your old age.
Absolutely. I don't think that it would be, it's something that the chapter is completely closed.
And nothing's wasted.
Absolutely. And it definitely has impacted for the better just how I go about the world and how I'm able to kind of navigate challenging situations and how I present myself in general. So I don't regret going to school at all for a law degree that I don't use directly.
So what would you tell anyone listening, or Sarah 15 years ago, what would you tell anyone listening who is considering a shift, maybe feels that pressure of, you know, social media or appearances or family expectations? What would you say to them? Yeah. Just kind of looking back at what you've been through.
I mean, I'd probably say get off the internet for starters.
Always good advice.
But I mean, probably it's just, you really just have to listen to, it sounds cheesy, but like what's in your heart and where you are and like what it is that is where your life is pulling you and what matters most to you in your life. And I mean, maybe that is having a job that you don't love, but maybe it does something else for your life that's more important. But, you know, if there at the end of the day is something that you're really unfulfilled, like don't be afraid to take the leap and ask for help for the, you know, the people who are the closest to you to get support from them and, you know, lean on them for it too. And then, you know, don't be afraid to try to even just like dip a toe in and figure it out and put yourself out there a little bit. And if taking a big leap feels too hard, I actually get emails, my favorite emails from people that are, you know, wanting to come and work at the flower shop are the ones who have a desk job that are unfulfilled and sad and sitting at an office and are saying, I just need a creative outlet. And I'm like, I know that feeling so well. And don't be afraid to, you know, do something like that, like go get involved somewhere else that it doesn't have to be like a full shift to another job. It can be the beginning of that. Right.
Yeah.
And so don't be scared to do that. Like we actually have had, I've had a 45-year-old come intern with us, you know, she just volunteered when she could, but it ended up over the course of our conversations when she kind of worked with our team over a year. She ended up going back to school and getting an MBA, and now she's going to open like an art community center. And I'm not taking credit for any of that, but I just, you know, like it's just taking like
that
a little
brave
small
of her.
Step. I wasn't humble. It? She's amazing. But so just taking like a little step and getting out of your comfort zone to try to figure out what might need to shift in your life. I don't know.
That's so encouraging to hear. And what I also hear really all the way through this conversation is just the support. I feel like we are our biggest critics and we put the most pressure on ourselves.
I agree.
It sounds like really from a woman shopping in a boutique where you were working to people you came across who had confidence in you. I know that if I see a woman trying something, even if it's not for me, even if I don't understand it, I'm in your corner. I root for all the women.
That's right.
absolutely. I want you to do well. So the voice in your head that says someone's going to laugh at me, they're going to think I'm ridiculous. It's too late. You know, I'm 45,
it's
I'm 55.
It's never too late. Yeah.
Just if you have breath, you can shift.
Absolutely.
I love that. And I'm so thankful that you took this time away from your four human babies and your husband and your business.
Thanks for having me.
And that you've survived really 18 months. I'm glad we didn't know when we first planned to talk that 18 months, this would still be like, I thought we had 18 days.
I was like, we'll reschedule just a
few
weeks
later.
It'll
be fine. And we'll see
that
before the baby comes. And now the baby is a toddler and
it's just wild.
And here we go. But you know what? I keep saying it. I'm going to keep saying it till I believe it. It's not going to be like this forever. It's only going to get better. And if you've made it this far, and by you, I mean Burn Studio and anyone listening, then you're going to be just fine. So tell people where they can find you, your work, your studio, where they can reach out if they want to partner with you.
Sure. So our website's Burn Studio Flowers. And I'm not sure when you're putting your podcast up, but we are about to launch a new website at the beginning of September. I'm really excited about it.
Oh, that's great.
And then
that's a lot
on
of work.
Instagram, it's a beast of a work. I'm glad to have a really awesome
I've walked
team
clients
to help.
Through that forever, and it is a much bigger animal than people realize. So good for you.
And we're Fern Studio Flowers on Instagram. That's where we do, we're probably the most active, and you can see lots of pictures of our flowers. But we're in Columbia at on Divine Street, 2855 Divine, and we love walk-ins. We're open from 10 to 6 starting in September. So I thank you, Anne. I'm so excited.
Absolutely.
So,
this was wonderful such a
talking
treat.
To you.
And I think a lot of people are going to be really encouraged and excited. And if nothing else, if you have someone you love in Columbia and want to make their day, it's always nice to know a spot where you can do that.
Thank you. And we do same day delivery too, which is nice if you, so you know, special. Are last minute like I am.
Yes. If an adult is listening who isn't last minute, that's
I know, right?
That's pretty remarkable. I find
I
that we're all just skating through, but it is the thought that counts.
That's
so
right.
It's good to know that we have a safety net in you. And I hope that y'all just continue to flourish. I feel like the flower metaphors are just a flowing, like the flourishing and the planting
I love
of the
it.
Seeds.
Keep it coming.
So I hope you continue to flourish. And I love you for taking a chance and encouraging other people to do the same. I think it's going to be a very cool story for your kids to see as they grow
we'll,
up that
we'll see.
You're not locked in, right? Like you,
that's right.
You don't
are.
Have to be a paleontologist just because you that's said right. once in the second grade that that was your dream. So it's good to know. Well, we will send people your way.
Appreciate that. Come visit if you're in town. I'd love to see you.
I sure will. I promise. Guys, thanks so much for joining us this week. We have a lot of really exciting topics in the hopper. I don't really know what a hopper is. I think it has something to do with elections. But again, if I don't have a third favorite dinosaur, I'm really not expecting myself to remember what a hopper is or what caused the War of 1812 or any number of things that are going to make me feel slightly less intelligent in the years ahead as my kids learn all of said things. Some of those discussions include baby names, handling grief for others, for instance, how we respect space and learn our place in the different circles, inner circle, outer circle, acquaintance circle of someone who is grieving. We have interviews about children with special needs and how we can be inclusive about growing older and what it means when life doesn't quite look like what you thought it would look. I'm delighted that you're here joining us and that I just checked because it really never occurred to me. And we have had more than 250,000 downloads. Someone has listened to these stories 250,000 times. 250,000 little clicks to hear the words of guests who want to share a bit of their heart or their path with other people. It's just beyond comprehension for me. If you follow me on Instagram, you may have seen my post yesterday about health. I was taking a sanity walk and saw another beautiful woman post a story about recommitting to her health. And I realized that my immediate expectation was that she had decided to lose weight because inevitably, that's what these posts are about. Cutting carbs, having or slashing your calories, signing up for unsustainably intense exercise regime, sipping all your meals through a straw, something. We are calling committing to your health, leaning into wellness, choosing a new life, all of those things. And if you're doing them and they work for you and you are well mentally and physically and emotionally, I applaud you and I'm proud of you. But I want you to know that I'm asking you to focus on actual health right now. Floss your teeth, find a counselor, get your eyes checked, schedule that pap smear you've been putting off or that mammogram or that colonoscopy or that filling. I want you to put sunscreen on every morning, even if it's cloudy. Drink some water, sneak a vegetable in every now and then. Take a sanity walk too. Don't look at it as cardio. Don't look at it as calories burned. Just walk. Get a little vitamin D, some fresh air, some perspective, quiet your mind. Focus on the inside of you more than the outside, or at least as much as the outside, if you can't silence all those voices in your heart or your head. We are going through enough. The headlines are hard. The texts from our friends and family with what they're carrying right now are hard. I want you to be here and I want you to be healthy. And that doesn't mean I need you to have abs. Doesn't mean I need you to be sucking down chalky protein shakes 3 times a day.
It doesn't mean I need you to commit to only eat for 20 minutes every third day. It means that I want you to take care of full wellness. I wish that when people said, I want you to commit to your health, here's how, by my shakes, that they were really asking, you know, when was the last time you had all your moles mapped out like a constellation? Are they good? Are we sure that none of them are cancerous or precancerous? What does your dermatologist say about that weird thing on your back that you can barely see and forget about? Let's turn off the news if it's not good for your brain. Maybe get a little more sleep. I'm on a Downton Abbey binge. That's what I watch in the evenings now. It feels like milk and cookies for my heart because I can't really handle, you know, I heard Grey's Anatomy had COVID storylines last year. Hard pass. We're living COVID storylines, babe. We are not interested in watching that for entertainment. So find the milk and cookies for your heart and lean into it. Lean into health from a totally holistic perspective. Make sure those gums are thriving. Make sure your eyes can see. Get a few steps, some fresh air. Check on those allergies. I don't know what the thing will be for you, but know that you can commit to your health and not commit to only eating 1,200 calories a day, which, by the way, is fewer calories than my kindergartner needs by a significant amount. So I love you. I want you to stay healthy, and I will talk to you next week. And you will actually see my face if you are a Patreon subscriber at patreon.com/butnotallatonce. We are back in a fall rhythm starting this week. And the plan is to do audio and video for a chat with former guest Brittany Bolt, the one who had Little Hitchhikers, twin babies that she carried for total strangers. She and I are going to talk baby names, what makes us crazy, what we love, the funniest ones we've heard, what we considered, and she is carrying her own biological fourth child after also being pregnant twice for said strangers. It's going to be a great conversation. I'm going to do my best to not look like a buffoon with a camera on me because I'm used to making whatever faces I want in a closet in the dark or in a desk by myself with just a microphone. So thank you for being here 250,000 times. Someone has chosen, someone's opted in, and that is a privilege that's not lost on me. I love y'all. I'll see you here, hear you here, talk to you here. Yes, right here next week. Bye, y'all.